This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
The Institute of Religious Science presents its dean and founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, world-renowned author, philosopher, and spiritual leader. Every Sunday, Dr. Holmes brings you this radio ministry to show you how you can use the power for good in the universe to enjoy greater happiness, peace, and security through this thing called life. Today is a most important milestone for Dr. Ernest Holmes and all of you who are united with us in this invisible church of the air. For starting today, Dr. Holmes will bring you a new and revealing series of Bible talks. As many of you already know, Dr. Holmes' Science of Mind philosophy of positive thinking and affirmative prayer is based on the teachings of Jesus and other great Bible prophets. In one of his best-loved books, Words That Heal Today, Dr. Holmes gives you new insight into the teaching and parables of Jesus as they apply to everyday living. Later in the program, you will learn about the new series of Bible lessons which Dr. Holmes has prepared for you to supplement his Bible talks. So today and every Sunday, we invite you to join with us in this great adventure in truth, as Dr. Holmes explains to you the true meaning of the Bible and tells you how the principles revealed in the greatest book ever written can help you solve the problems that face you through this thing called life.
Friends, let us think for a moment of one of the great incidents in the life of Jesus, the great physician, when a man came to him with an incurable disease. How do you think this man must have felt when Jesus, turning to him in love and in compassion, said, "Be thou made whole"? With what wonder and awe he must have viewed this miracle worker who said, "Be thou made whole." As he felt his disease draining away from him and his mind coming into wholeness and into happiness. And think of other incidents in the life of Jesus when he multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed the 5,000 with an abundance left over. And again, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, turned the water into wine, and stilled the wind and the wave. What power did Jesus have that others do not possess? By what authority did he do these things? And would it be possible for you and me to perform the same wonders? What did Jesus know that you and I must learn that we too may heal the sick, raise the dead, and feed the multitude? What did Jesus have in mind when he said, "Be thou made whole"? When we study the great lessons of the Bible, and particularly the life of Jesus, we find out just what wholeness really means. Wholeness as Jesus practiced it and as he taught it. For Jesus taught that health is one of the essentials of a whole man, and he taught that health responds to faith and prayer and belief. He taught that there is an attitude of mind, a way of thinking, that through the power of prayer, the picture of health can begin in our own mind and then express itself in our bodies. Jesus taught that spiritual wholeness is at the center of everyone. And he showed us the importance of brotherly love and the necessity of forgiveness. This he based on the presence of God within, the eternal spirit of love that gives of itself, which we must let flow through us, that we must not bind in fear or with a thought of guilt, but which we must loose in gladness and in joy. In his concept of wholeness, there is a love that includes everyone. A love that recognizes God as the Father and God in the brother. Jesus showed us that the Father is within us and that the divine brother is in everyone. And now these ideas of Jesus are simple, they are clear, and they are direct. They are health and abundance, gladness and love, and all rooted in the central thought that God is all of these things, and that the Spirit of God is within each one of us. The greatest truths ever taught are always founded in simplicity. And Jesus was a simple man who taught a simple way of life. Let us recognize that the way of wholeness is a simple way, and that it leads to a very simple conclusion. For if we have felt that the way of Christ was difficult or involved or complex, let us change our thinking and see that through his example and by his words, Jesus showed that we all ought to be whole as he was, and that if we wish to be, we must first have a consciousness of health and of abundance, that we must have gladness and love and peace in our hearts. Too many of us deny ourselves the wholeness of the Christ because we are so conscious of our fears and our lacks, and because we shut other people out of our lives through our unkindness. Too many of us deny our spiritual heritage because we are morbid and because we have a sense of guilt. Too many reject life instead of opening both heart and mind to receive it in all its glory, and all of its wonder. There is a spiritual impulse within us that echoes the words of Jesus and says, even now, "Be thou made whole." And there is something within our hearts that responds and that says, "Teach us how to pray. For we too would be whole. Teach us what our relationship to God is, or to this thing called life." The answer to all our needs is contained in the teachings of Jesus and in other parts of the Bible. For the Bible is a book of the emancipation of man. And now there are five distinct spiritual ideas that the Bible teaches about this emancipation. These five ideas contain the whole story of man, from the story of creation to the fulfillment of all the promises in the life of Christ. These five ideas gave Jesus the understanding that enabled him to raise the dead, heal the sick, turn water into wine, and triumph over the grave. The Bible brings these ideas to you and to me, so that we too may become whole. The first of these five great truths is told in the story of creation, which story says that God is a universal creative spirit or a divine presence existing everywhere, and that man is made in the spiritual image and in the spiritual likeness of God. Therefore, man has within himself the power to be free. The Bible also tells us that man is an individual, and therefore he must be let alone to discover himself and his relationship with God. And it tells us that in the process of this self-discovery, and because he is ignorant of his true nature, and because of the creative power of his thought, man brings upon himself the very limitation that he fears. And he may even come to feel that he is distinct, separate, and apart from God. And so he becomes afraid of God. He hasn't yet learned that God is the heavenly Father of everyone and wishes only good for anyone. And so the Bible tells us just what happens when we use the creative power of our thought rightly and what happens when we use it wrongly. This is the key to wholeness, and this key is placed in our hands. The second great truth that the Bible teaches concerns the spiritual law of our being, which Moses made clear, for Moses was the great lawgiver. Moses told us that the word of life is in our own mouths, that we should know it and that we should do it. And again, in the teaching of Moses, we find that we should expect to happen when we use this law constructively, and what we must expect to happen if we use it destructively. You see, the whole story of the Bible is a story of the great universal creative principle and the divine presence in which we live and move and have our being, which also lives and moves and has its being in us. Therefore, the Bible, which is a book of the emancipation of man, is also a story of our direct relationship to God. It shows us the supremacy of love, and the Bible also explains the great laws through which this love is expressed. And now the third great truth which the Bible presents is that the divine principle, or the law of our being, is within us and tells us that this law is good and it is for our use. The prophets had proclaimed a Messiah, and they had pointed out that even under the burden of our problems, there is always this Savior or Messiah principle within us, this Messiah which can restore us to wholeness. But it is one thing to have learned that there is divine presence and an infinite law. It is still another thing to know that this infinite presence and this universal law is in the mind and the heart of each one of us. In the truest sense of the word, we are then co-creators with God. For as the Bible says, we are also of His Spirit. The fourth great truth which the Bible teaches is the fulfillment of the prophecies and the promises and the fulfillment of the law through the coming of Christ. The great physician came to heal the world. He came to declare the supremacy of love, and he came to fulfill the hopes and the aspirations of all the ages. We should never forget it was this great physician himself who told us, "The things that I do, shall ye do also." Jesus was the first man in history to take the spiritual teaching of the ages and his own inward divine revelation and make them practical. He was the first man to really link heaven with earth and God with man. And Jesus told us clearly and plainly that God is the Father of everyone. He told us the one universal spirit is in all of us. And he told us that there is a law of good which everyone can use for any and for every constructive purpose. It was because Jesus understood the direct relationship between God and man, and because he knew that his word was the law of God operating through him, it was because of this that he performed the miracles, those miracles that have so astounded the world. Too long have people believed that these were things that he alone could do. But today, we are rereading the sayings of Jesus with this new idea in mind. What can we do about it? What does it mean to us? How can we use it? For we know that something has been lost. There is a power that Jesus definitely said we can and ought to use, which we have overlooked. There is a power greater than we are, but it is also a power available to all of us. And then Jesus taught us how to pray effectively. He taught us how to forgive and why we must forgive if we would be whole. He taught us how to love and told us that we could not think rightly of ourselves or even love our own immediate friends rightly unless we love the whole world. Jesus taught the meaning of love. He taught us the meaning of abundance and told us that whatsoever things we need when we pray, if we believe that we have them, we shall receive them. And Jesus placed no limitation whatsoever on the willingness or the ability of the Spirit or the power of the law other than our own unbelief. So by example and word, he revealed to us the fifth great truth of the Bible, that life is eternal, that all men are immortal, and that every one of us is on the pathway of an endless evolution, forevermore and never less ourselves. In order to prove this, Jesus showed that he knew what he was talking about. He raised Lazarus from the dead, and he himself walked into the grave, only to prove that he could walk through it. The Bible, then, is the greatest book ever written. And if we learn and understand the lessons it teaches, and if we apply them, there is no doubt that we also shall, in some measure, be able to reproduce the wonderful works of Jesus. He said that he came as an example. He said that he came to bring a greater peace, a deeper sense of security, and a freedom from fear. And particularly, he came to reveal the eternal love, the eternal givingness, and the eternal forgivingness of that divine presence which presses closer to us than our very breath, and who would not be made whole, free from fear and doubt, and free from the awful thought of a God of hate, or the belief in an eternal punishment. Who would not gladly lay down his fear for faith, his hate for love, his hell for heaven?
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. For
friends, throughout the past 2 years of this radio ministry, in this wonderful church of the air of ours, we have had many thousands of letters asking us just what certain passages in the Bible really means. So finally, we decided that the most helpful way to answer these questions would be to write a course of lessons on the Bible, which lessons we think cover the main points of interest, both in the New and in the Old Testaments. In doing this, we were indeed most fortunate to secure the help of my associate, Dr. Fletcher Harding. And so Dr. Harding and I have spent months in preparing what we think will meet your needs. The Bible undoubtedly is the greatest book ever written, and it really does contain the instructions necessary to a right spiritual attitude toward life. The Bible tells us what the nature of God is. It tells us that there is a power greater than we are. Moreover, and particularly in the teaching of Jesus, shows us just how to use this power. And so today, I am very happy to announce that these lessons, which were written by Dr. Harding and myself, are now available to you through our great invisible church of the air.
Friends, starting today, as Dr. Holmes has told you, we are offering you a brand new home study course on the meaning of the Bible. This entire course of 10 Bible lessons was written exclusively for you by Dr. Holmes in collaboration with Dr. Fletcher Harding, Dean of the College of Religious Science. As you read these beautifully written lessons, you will find that the best-loved Bible stories, the parables and the sayings of Jesus, take on new and significant meaning. Now, we want to be very sure that everyone who receives these Bible lessons wants them and appreciates them. So Dr. Holmes has prepared a beautiful printed pamphlet summarizing all 10 lessons. Included in this pamphlet, you will find the full text of his message for today on the true meaning of the Bible. You will also find full instructions for ordering this home study course of 10 Bible lessons. Be sure to send for this pamphlet at once. It is yours, absolutely free for the asking. Just address a letter or postcard to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Remember, this beautifully printed 6-page folder contains the full text of Dr. Holmes' talk for today on the true meaning of the Bible. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, and it will be mailed to you promptly and postpaid.
And now, what could be better for the thought for our meditation today than these words? He is over all, in all, and through all. And as we think on the meaning of these words, let us see if each one of us cannot, in his own thought and in his own feeling, draw close to the divine presence as he repeats, He is over all, in all, and through all. And now, believing that there is a divine presence closer to me than my very breath, and realizing that I live in the one perfect spirit, and knowing that the God around me and the God within me is one God, I say, My Father, which art in heaven within me, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is come now, and I accept it. And looking about me, I say to all people, Your Father, which is in your heaven within you, hallowed be his name, for you are one with him forevermore. There is one life. That life is God. That life is your life now. And that life is perfect. looking upon the circumstances which surround me, I bless them even as Jesus blessed the bread and broke it. And even as the loaves and fishes multiplied in the outstretched and upturned hand of love, so I know that everything in my experience that is good is multiplied and increased. And even as I feel this increase pressing into my experience, I give it out, that it may feed and bless and multiply the good of others. These others that are some part of me, because God is in them and in me, and we are in God.
Open my eyes that I may see, fullness of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Join us next week when Dr. Holmes' Bible talk will be The Fruit of Good and Evil. And be sure to send for your free pamphlet containing the full text of Dr. Holmes' talk on the true meaning of the Bible and telling you how you may secure his new series of 10 Bible lessons. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5, and this beautiful pamphlet will be mailed to you at once, free and postpaid. Our soloist today was Fred Guthrie with Irma Glenn at the organ. This program was directed by Wallace Bruce Ramsey.
There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it.
This Thing Called Life with Dr. Ernest Holmes is a non-profit, non-denominational service brought to you every Sunday in the interests of greater fellowship and spiritual understanding. You are invited to send your free will gifts and offerings for the support of this radio ministry to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. This program came to you from Hollywood. Hugh Brundage speaking. America is sold on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.